Turn to the person next to you and say, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" I know what you're thinking right now. What in the world is he doing here? And I love this place, and you should be glad to be a part of the body of Christ like this. It's a great place to be. So turn to the person around you again and say, "That's what I'm doing here." In fact, this church means so much to me. I just want to touch base for all of you instead of just one or two of you. I want to touch base with all of you and let you know what God has been doing inside of me. If you want a text to open to, you can open up to 2 Kings chapter 19 and Exodus chapter 23. 2 Kings 19, Exodus 23. That's going to explain a little bit what I'm doing here. I'll tell you what I'm doing here. In 2 Kings chapter 19, starting with verse number 4, Hezekiah, the leader at that moment of the Israelites, had gotten some very bad news from the king of Assyria. Hezekiah, the king of Assyria, was threatening Hezekiah and telling Hezekiah, "If you don't submit to me and my army," because at that point, he was taken over everywhere. Everywhere this king went, he took over. He ruled every place he went. He was a very powerful force at that time, and now he's got his sights on Hezekiah, and he's saying, "You either submit or you're gone." So then Hezekiah decides to go grab a few messengers, and he sends his messengers to the man of God, Isaiah, at this point. And this is what he says in verse 4. "Maybe God, your God, just maybe your God, has been listening to the blasphemous speech of the whatever his name is there, who was sent by the king of Assyria, his master, to humiliate the living God." Now Hezekiah here is using every angle he can. "Maybe your God will listen to this guy's making fun of your God, and maybe he'll do something about it," is what he's saying, okay? "With such talk, and maybe you will lift up prayers for what's left of these people. You're the man of God. Maybe your God will do something about this, and you lift up the prayers for these people." Well, God speaks to Isaiah. Isaiah was a spokesman for God. So Isaiah, the following verses, Isaiah speaks back to Hezekiah and says, "Hezekiah, this is what's going to happen. God's going to take care of you. God's going to put a terror on this king's heart. He's going to flee from here, and he's going to be gone, and God's going to take care of everything." We always expect God to do it right away, but it's all in the process. God rarely does things right away. There's usually a process that we have to go through. That's what builds the faith. TNT knows drama, so does Jesus Christ, okay? Now, if you go down to verse number 14, so he goes back, and he's probably feeling pretty good. Okay, God, I didn't mean to get upset and point the finger and everything, but I'm just saying that I'm not exactly sure. I mean, so thanks for sticking up for me. Well, he gets back, and the king of Assyria starts saying stuff like, "Oh, so you think this God of yours is going to help you out? Do you really think I'm not going to come in and demolish you?" And the threats start again. A test of which are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? The report of the Lord, or are you going to believe the report the doctors say? You can believe the report of the Lord or the report of the counselor. You can believe the report of the Lord or the report of your teenager, the report of your spouse. What you're going to believe? God said something here, but there will always be a test to what God says. And I'm telling you what God has been doing in my life for a second here. So now Hezekiah, he gets a letter from the king of Assyria, and it just rocks Hezekiah's world. So now, remember in the beginning he was saying, "Maybe your God, maybe you should pray for these people. Maybe your God will do something about it." And now Hezekiah gets even more scared because the king of Assyria comes in and says, "I'm going to totally demolish you." Then listen to what he says in verse 14. Hezekiah took the letter from the envoy and read it. He went to the temple of God and spread out the letter before God. And Hezekiah prayed, and it says, "Oh, how he prayed before. Maybe your God, maybe you should pray." But now the difference is Hezekiah takes the report, and he himself lays it out, and boy, he prays. And he says this, "God, God of Israel, seated in majesty on the cherubim throne, you are the one and only God, sovereign over all kingdoms on earth, maker of heaven, maker of earth. Open your ears, God, and listen. Open your eyes and look. Look at this letter Sennacherib has sent. Verse 17, the facts are true, O God, king of Assyria, have laid waste countries and kingdoms and his land. They report out before God here. And then verse number 19, it says, but now, O God, our God. What's the difference between those two prayers? Before, he went with a finger pointing at Isaiah saying, maybe you should pray to your God. And now Hezekiah comes in. And no, God even honored that. God said, I'm going to take care of you. But now Hezekiah is so desperate. And he says, and then he calls him our God. Save us from raw Assyrian power. Make all the kingdoms on earth now know that you are God, the one and only God. It wasn't long before Isaiah, son of Amos, sent word to Hezekiah, God's word. You've prayed to me regarding Sennacherib, king of Assyria. I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer. Somewhere down the line, things have got twisted, and it's even there today where, Pastor Jerry, you find out what God is saying, and then you tell me what to do. Moses, you go to God, and you tell me what to do, and that way I don't have to think about it. Maybe your God can heal my cancer. Maybe your God can do this, and God will respond to that. But there's a whole other level when all of a sudden we go before God, because we have a right into his kingdom. We have a right into his heart. That's why that there used to be a real thick 3-foot wide curtain that would separate God from the rest of mankind. It was 3-foot wide. When Jesus died on the cross, man, that thing wasn't cut in half. It wasn't ripped from the bottom up. It was ripped from the top down, which tells you who did the ripping. And when someone rips something violently like that, he's trying to make a point. Enough! Enough! I'm tired of hiding in this box. I'm tired of hiding behind 3-foot of curtain. I am open to anybody now. And now we have the right to go before God, lay our concerns out and say, God, my God, you see my need. And then if you go on and read in 2 Kings 19, it talks about God begins to speak to him because you prayed. And it went from your God to my God. Everywhere I've gone in the last several years of my life, everywhere I've gone, kids have flown prophetically. Teenagers have flown prophetically. People have flown prophetically. Not in the typical, I was at one retreat and I said, when God speaks to me, he speaks to me in pictures oftentimes. And this girl came up to me with this lady, she's in her 20s now, has a family. She came up to me and she said, Steve, I always thought when God spoke to somebody, it happened at the end of slow worship. And they just would play on the piano. We'd wait for someone to say, thus saith the Lord, or someone to speak in tongues and give an utterance. And she said, I always thought that's how God spoke. She says, I've been seeing pictures my whole life. Are you telling me that God has been speaking to me my whole life? And I said, Elise, I'm telling you, God has been speaking to you your whole life. God is speaking. Did you know that there is some jamming 80s rock and roll tune going on right now in this room? That should excite some of you. For all those of you from the younger crowd, I'll give you a moment of silence to thank my generation for all the good rock and roll. Right now, there is some country bluegrass tune playing above your head. Right now, in your seat, there is music right now, and you're trying to think, is he playing music somewhere? No, I'm not. Someone else is, though. There are so many stuff going on right now, and we can't hear it because we don't have a radio turned on. But someone is singing, someone is playing, someone is speaking, and we can't hear because we're not tuned in. I am telling you something, God is still speaking. But he isn't just speaking through Moses anymore. He's not just speaking through Isaiah, he wants to speak through Hezekiah. And God has been giving me this. God told me sometime back, he said, Steve, stop concentrating on getting bookings. Stop it. He said, I have burned a message inside of you that I want the world to know. He said, so start finding creative ways to spread the message that I've given you. I said, all right. So things just started dropping my path. John chapter 10 says, my sheep know my voice. So my question is, if I don't know his voice, am I a sheep? Just as I go to church doesn't make me a sheep. My sheep know my voice. I call them by name, and I lead them out. So my son helped me. My sheep know my voice. And on the front, I made a shirt to help remind people. A lot of the teenagers want to go places. It says, hear no Jesus, see no Jesus, then you know no Jesus. He was meant to be heard and seen. We have got to hear his voice again for ourselves. Somebody say, I heard that. I'm sorry, I'm in the Midwest now. Someone say, amen.
Amen.
Someone say, well. Someone say, Someone say, yes.
Yeah.
Someone stand up and say, that's preaching.
That's preaching.
There we go, we got one. It always starts with one. God's voice is not hard to hear. It is not hard to hear. It is not hard to hear. Do you have the person next to you say he's talking to you right now? Listen up. It is not hard to hear. I remember when I was a kid, when I was just a kid going to church, and I remember this lady came and she preached in our church, and she preached like this. She said, okay, turn your Bibles to John chapter whatever, and she says, we're gonna preach from that thing. And also she said, hold on, wait a minute, hold on a second. Oh, okay, so, all right, then you want to go over to, oh, okay, we'll talk, oh, all right. Never mind, turn to Matthew chapter 14. And I sat in that front row, and I don't know if most people missed it, but I sat in that front row and I went, did I just miss something, or did that lady have a conversation with God? I knew how to pray to God, but no one ever taught me how to have a conversation with God. Like, God actually talks back? Yes, he does. That's why I read the Bible, not because I'm supposed to, because I'm a good Christian. I gave up on that a long time ago. I never read it enough. I was always feeling guilty. I read it now because God, you've got mail. The Word of God is his Facebook. It's his MySpace. It tells all about him. He's got comments and he's got messages in there. I don't read it because I have to anymore. I read it because I want to find out what God is saying to me. God, so, just to help people, religion has made it difficult. The devil wants you not to hear God's voice. But no matter what, I put a CD together that talks about no matter what emotional state you're in, you have got to find out what God's perspective is, and that's what brings peace and contentment. God, what do you say about the cancer? God, what do you say about my job? What do you say about my situation? What do you say about my lack of groceries? What's your thoughts? What are you saying? And so I put this whole thing together on how to get God's perspective, the importance of getting God's perspective, and then I decided to go a whole other step further. Remember, God said, God told me, I'm going to give you creative ways to spread my message. And I go to this church, and this guy says, I don't want you to worry about preaching to my people. I want you to preach the message that God has placed in you, because I want to make CDs, and I want you to sell these CDs to support the poor and the needy, my children. It has been tough, man. It has been tough. Man, I remember saying just a couple weeks ago, God, I can't take the weight of this anymore. You've got to do something. And he is on the move. So this one talks about actual ways to hear God's voice. It is not difficult to hear God's voice. You've been hearing it, you just haven't spotted. This CD does nothing more than kind of remind you, oh, that was God? Oh, that could have been God speaking to me? Yes, I don't have time to talk about this morning, so I brought the CDs. They're in the back, they're $10 a piece. If you can't afford $10, you tell me what you can't afford. And if you can't afford anything, I'll give you one. Because the point is to get the message out. They're not worth $10. It helps support my family, right? But honestly, I want to get the message out more than I want to do anything else. So I'm going to sell everything for $10 a piece. You can buy these two for $15 if you want, if you buy them in a package set, because they kind of go in a package set. I want you to understand something. Number one, for those that have to be offended or they're not happy going to church on Sunday, I want to give you an opportunity to get offended, right? He's trying to sell stuff in church, right? Go ahead, get angry with me. That's fine. I'm used to it, okay? What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to spread the message that God has put inside of me. That's what I'm trying to do. So if you can't afford it, then you come back there and I'll give you one for free. Honest to God. Honest to God. Exodus verse 20, chapter 20, verse 23. I heard someone say this once. They said, Christians don't tell lies, they sing them. All day this morning in the worship, we sing those songs, but Pastor, you better be careful. You give and take away? I had a pastor friend, he's like, he won't let that song be sung in his church. He doesn't want Jesus to be seen that way. This whole idea of us being in debt or struggling, hello, I'm a Christian, so I don't have to be. Right, God wants to bless us. All I know is that I've obeyed him, and he's taken me through the desert. But what happens is when we go through the desert, then we sit back and we just feel like a terrible believer. Hello, do we not read the story of Job? Job did everything right and had everything wrong done to him, right? And we read that and go, that's right. But then we turn into the friends of Job. Well, if you're struggling, maybe just as if you talk to God, and we should always find out there's something going on between us and God, but we sit back, and the moment we go through struggle, I must be doing something wrong. God must not love me. No, God adores you. That's why you're struggling. And it pleased him to watch his son, what? Suffer. I took the red-eye flight into Minneapolis here a couple months ago. It was 3:30 in the morning, and I had to preach that morning. I'm waiting for the pastor to get there, so I put on my iPod. And the song on my iPod is a guy singing, and he says, come back to me. Come back to me. God speaks to me a lot through music. Those CDs will explain a lot of that. He speaks a lot to me through, he's speaking through everyday things. We just have our mind focused on, he only speaks this way, and that's why we don't hear him. He is speaking constantly. He's always speaking. And when I was listening to that song, thank you. When I was listening to that song, come back to me, I saw God standing there going, McFly. And God speaks to us in our thoughts. So sometimes when God speaks to us in our thoughts, we don't know if it's God or our thoughts, right? So at that moment, I thought that had to have been my thoughts because, God, I haven't left you. That's not, I asked him, that's not you, is it? I haven't left you. And I heard immediately, he said, yes, you have. I hurt your feelings last week, and you turned from me. 2 weeks prior, God had spoken to me, and he said, I'm going to bless you. Don't be afraid, Steve. Just like Isaiah did to Hezekiah the first time, he said, I'm going to bless you. Don't you be afraid. Next week, I'm going to take care of your needs and your situation. I'm going to bless you. So I went home and got this nice little box made up of what God's blessing is going to look like. Oh, that means he's going to do this and do this, and he'll do it like this and this. There's my box, God. And I kept checking the mail all week. Okay. Sometimes 12 times a day. No, nothing there. Keep checking the mail. Nope, nothing there. And I finally, it was a terrible week for me. I started getting angry. God, you said. Now listen to what Assyria is saying. You said, but listen to what the bills are saying. You said, but listen to what my situation is saying right now. You said this, but where is it? It's all empty. And I started getting mad at him. Whenever I get mad at my wife, you know, like both times when I got mad at her, what do you do when you get mad? You turn your face, right? And you put this little wall up between you. I'll show her. Instead of talking like an adult, oh, no, I'm not doing that. You're going to say that to me? I'm just going to look out my window and drive down the road. Build that wall right there. You go ahead. All you want over there. I hope you notice I'm not looking at you. Got the upper hand there. I'm showing her. I'm sure just, and she's over here immediately. She keeps looking out her window now. And the more we look out our own windows instead of looking out each other's windows, the higher that wall gets. And God said, I hurt your feelings last week, and you turned your face from me. And then he said it like this. He said, but you don't understand the big picture. You can't see it because I'm God and you're not. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are not like your ways. They are higher. And I felt him standing over there saying, come back to me, Steve. Just trust me. Because when I was in that week, I had really thought, and I had this thing figured out. I thought I had this whole struggling thing figured out because God had been taking me through so much. I'm like, man, I've been learning so much in the struggle. Man, I've been learning a lot. And then I said to him that week, I said, God, are you trying to teach me something? Yeah, he was. As he spoke to me, he said, Steve, just trust me. Just trust me. Come back. And so right there, 3:30 in the morning, I said, all right, Jesus, I don't understand. I don't get it. It feels like you've betrayed me, but you know what? I'm coming back to you. And every song that morning dealt with, don't seek me for what I can do for you, just seek me. I had a pastor come up to me not too long ago and said, Steve, well, I really have a problem with the in debt thing. Well, so do I. God does not want us to be in debt. I said, save it. I know all the scriptures. I've been to all the seminars. All I'm telling you is I obeyed, and I got in here because I obeyed. Amen. There's nothing more. Well, I'm going to get ahead of myself here. So then we drop all the stuff off.
We drop it all off at the house, and my iPod was still playing. It was on random. It just keeps picking the 1,000 songs that I just kept playing. And all of a sudden, I go to turn it off, and God says, wait up. Wait up, Steve. Put his hand on my chest. Said, hold on. I'm not done with you yet. I've got more I want to tell you. I said, okay. How do you know if that's God or not? You act on it. That's what faith without works is dead means. It takes faith to act on that. Oh, that's just me. So you turn it off. You'll never know if it was God or not. You don't know until you act on it. So I said, what's it going to hurt? I put the headphones on, and it couldn't have happened 3 seconds later. It couldn't have. I put the headphones on, and the very next line out of the headphones was this. Love is the master's plow that breaks down the walls of doubt. And God showed me the very thing that I needed to fix my situation is the very thing that I had turned away from. Because at that moment, almost all pain and hurt comes from misunderstanding, right? Right? If you haven't looked at each other for a while, look at each other now. But you know what I'm talking about? Almost it all comes from misunderstanding. And how often do we hold something inside of us, right? We keep it inside, and then when finally one of the two decides to say, I'm sorry, then the whole wall breaks down. We're like, I'm so sorry, I should have came to you a long time ago. No one ever goes, I don't know, I'm just going to keep the wall up. No, everyone goes, oh man, I feel so good. And if I looked at my circumstances at that moment, those would not cause me to tear that wall down. If I looked at all these other things, nothing's going to cause me. There's only one thing that would cause me to turn back to him, and that was faith. Faith. It's without faith, it's impossible to what? To please God. Faith was the very thing that I needed. And because in faith and not following my feelings, I followed faith instead. Feelings often go opposite of faith. So put your feelings in the caboose where they belong, not in the engine. Make them follow you around for a while. Don't deny your feelings. Just tell them, okay, I understand, I'm mad, but you get back in the caboose where you belong. I'm going to follow in faith. Put faith in the engine. Come on, someone say amen.
Amen.
A lady came up to me not too long ago. She said, I got a word for you. Exodus 20, 23. 23:20, I'm sorry. Exodus 23:20. Now get yourselves ready. I'm sending my angel ahead of you to guard you in your travels, to lead you to the place that I've prepared. Pay close attention to him. Don't obey him. Don't go against him. He won't put up with your rebellions because he's acting on my authority. I've put an angel in front of you. I've put an angel to guard you and to lead you down the path. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to and give you a and a, right? Don't we all want to get there? We love, God's got plans to bless us, right? So what's he do? He puts an angel to guard us. La, 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 la. Right? And this lady said, when I see that word guard, I see like a basketball guard. And a lot of times, almost everyone goes right. Very few guys can drive left. So what does a guard always do? He guards your right side. He makes you go left. He makes you go to your weakness. And now, let the weak say, I am. Let the poor say, I. How can you say you're rich if you never get poor? How can you ever be truly strong if you never get weak? And we want to go to our right. God, that's what I do best. What about Balaam? Was on the path on his donkey. I find that very funny right there. And he's on this donkey going to where he feels he's supposed to go. And all of a sudden an angel stands in front of the donkey. Could you see this flaming guy? When I say flaming guy, I shouldn't say that. But this angel with fire all around. He's got the sword and the shield and this massive warrior. Angels are messengers. They're warriors. They're not this little wings and little halo. And they shoot people. That's not an angel. These angels were warriors. And that angel stood right in the path. And the donkey could see spiritually, but Balaam couldn't. Balaam could not see spiritually. He could only see physically. And so what did he do when the donkey stopped? He began to beat that thing. Come on. Let's go. Kick it, beat it, yell at it. And that donkey, what's the donkey supposed to do? He's like, I'd rather have Balaam beat me than try to go through that fire right there. Balaam's got a stick. That guy's got a sword. The donkey's in trouble no matter what he does. And finally, I find it so funny. Don't tell me God's not funny. People always, I was in one church and all these people walked out because I was being funny. They didn't come for stand-up comedy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hello, somebody. Man. And there's all these visitors there. We're going to have a visitor day. So they bring Steve in, and Steve was just going to do stand-up comedy and tell him about Jesus, and I'm going to use comedy. We don't like that. Well, it's not about us. It's about them. Hello, somebody. And everyone loves to laugh. And the people that don't know how to laugh, there is something wrong there. Somebody say, hello, somebody. I'm just trying to save Jerry from all the emails later on. You know that'll probably happen. You'll probably get emails because Steve was here and Steve said something, and I didn't fit in the mold that you think I should fit into, but you said I could be me, so it's your fault, not his. And it's not his fault for bringing me in because I kept bothering him until he finally did. It's like that virus on your computer, you know, it just keeps popping up. You finally just give into it. Okay, fine. Ruin the whole computer. Go ahead, Steve, ruin the church. It'll give me something to fix for the next 3 years. I'll probably see you in 5 or 6 years from now when no one else will remember me again. How many have seen Steve? 3 people. All right, Steve, come on up. I think it's hilarious that God makes a donkey speak. Amen. This is before Jim Henson. Why can't we see that stuff happen today? What would you do if someone came to you today and said, my dog told me I was supposed to do this? Right? Well, that's what happened. The donkey turned around and was like, what are you doing? Can you not see? There's an angel guarding his path. And my life was not going. I was obeying God, but nothing was happening out of it. Where's the blessing? Remember Christmas vacation? The blessing. Where's the blessing? And I'm mad at God because I'm doing everything right and my life is all going wrong. And I start beating my life. I start saying, man, I'm doing something wrong. God, don't you love me again? And I'm beating my life and an angel is there guarding my path. No, you're not going to your strength. God gave me a van. Gave me a van. 2 years newer than the vans I was looking at. And the guy said, hey, you can just buy it from us. I said, I don't know if I can get a loan. He says, you just pay us whatever you can afford when you can afford it. And then a year later, it breaks down on me. And it was a Mazda van. It was in great condition. Why would it just break down? Because an angel. God, I felt God showed me there's something spiritual about this. So I anointed it with motor oil. Man, I prayed over that thing. I rebuked that devil. I'm not so sure it was the devil. I think God is saying, nope. Nope, this is not your van anyway. You gave it to me, remember? Go this way. But God, blessing is this way. Nope. Start beating my donkey. Come on! Stupid life, let's go! Right? When you follow Jesus, he gives and takes away. Jesus himself prayed in that garden, God, don't let me go through this. Please, please. God, and God showed me this. The cross wasn't won when he was nailed to the cross. It was won in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where the battle happened. Everything else is just a follow through. When Jesus stood there and he begged and pleaded till it said like great drops of blood or sweat coming out of his brow. And he was praying. He said, God, please, please take this away from me. Please take it away. I was saying the other week, I said, I can't take this weight anymore. Take it away. I started saying, God, how long? Anyone said that before? If you have the person next to you, say he's talking about you right now. I started saying, what is going on? When are you going to pull through? You promised me. I got the word. They say, quote the word. Tell him his promises. He knows his promises. I don't quote him for him. I quote him for me. Remind God of what he said. He knows what he said. He is the word. I need to remind myself of what he said. And I was there saying, I can't do this anymore. And God said, just come back. It's like, remember in Christmas vacation? I mean, the Christmas story? That kid that stuck his tongue to the pole. And then when all his friends told him to do it. And then when he did it, they all left him. And he was there all by himself going, come back, come back. Come back. He was in a desperate situation. Come back. But that was the same intensity that Jesus was speaking to me. He said, you turned from me because you don't understand. But he said, come back. Come back. God is saying, come back. And yet I'm up here saying, God, I can't take this weight anymore. I'm obeying you and I'm in debt. I'm obeying you, and all the phone won't stop ringing. I'm obeying you. I'm not living some, I know it's hard for some people to handle, but I know because God blesses America and God blesses us, but sometimes we walk through the, yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Are you kidding me? Right in the middle of, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Right after that. It's one of those nursery rhymes. Rock-a-bye, baby. When the bow breaks. You know what I'm talking about here? It's like the book of Psalms. 1 minute David's like, God, you're awesome. What are you doing? When I came back to God, then he brought me contentment and peace. And I went from saying, God, how long, to saying, however. I went from saying, God, when are you going to do something, to saying, whenever you want to do it. I went from saying, what is going on, to saying, whatever you want to do. And there is no more intimate worship. Worship isn't just music. Hello, somebody. We know that. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is you give and take away. So this morning, I just bawled like a baby while they sang those songs. Sometimes his path, when you obey him, he takes you to the wilderness and not to the heavens. He takes you to the desert. Hello? That doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It means he adores you. It means he's hot for you. I shouldn't say that. Are you kidding me? He's our groom. We're his bride. My bride is hot. I can't wait to get home. I had a dream about her last night. I cannot wait to get home. And Jesus cannot wait to get into our world. But sometimes we treat him so holy and so far away, we miss the whole point. He wants to come into our world. Someone say, what are you doing here? Someone look up and say, what are you doing here? Go ahead, tell him. I'll tell you what he's doing. I'll tell you what he's doing. God has taken Muhammad to the mountain. If people aren't going to come into church, we keep inviting. But instead of sitting and waiting back for them to come to church, why don't we just take church to the people? Amen. And I'm not talking about let's have a service outside. That's our outreach. They don't want to go to a service. You go to them because you're used to them. You like them. That's okay. But they're not used to them. Let's do an outreach. So let's just have a service somewhere. No. I tell you what God is doing. He's raising up an army that's going to start taking his presence where two or three are gathered together in my name. That doesn't mean where two Christians get together. It means where two Christians get together with the purpose of, God, what do you want to do? It's not gathering for his name. We gather for his name. We gather with his name. We gather about his name many times. But how often do we gather in his name? I was at Old Chicago Pizza last night with six people. And man, I'm telling you, we had church last night around that table. We didn't go to a building somewhere. We were in a building. And we began to minister to each other. Today at the Packer game, today when you're home, well, forget that. You're going to be napping. You'll be ministering to yourself. But I get to go today. Dun, 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 dun. Compliments of my friend Jeannie. Now you know really why I love her, right? Okay. But I get to go today. But I'm telling you what, well, Mike and I sit in the Packer game. We're having church in the Packer game. Those people aren't going to come into here, so I'm going to take Jesus there. I guarantee every time I get together with him, we talk about funny things. We you know, are mean to each other, dog on each other, you know. We cut down each other, have fun with each other, but we're always speaking life into each other. We're always, and Jesus is going to come up in there somewhere. I might buy someone a bratwurst today. I don't know, but I'm going to take the love of Jesus somewhere. This is what God has been doing with me lately. God has been saying, Steve, I'm about to expand you. I'm about to send you out. You're about to just whew, shoot up. You're about to, and before I spoke in churches, and there's only like, you're like the third, I say churches because there's only two of you that'll have me, right? And so I've got this much of the pie that I've been doing. And God is opening up the doors. I don't have time to get into it all, but God has opened up the doors. This guy came to me and said, I've been thinking about you for a year and a half. I speak in public schools. He says, I want you to come and speak in public schools. And I just got the whole piece of the pie. And what public schools have done, they said, you can come and speak in schools, but here's the guide, here's the rules. And so what I've done in the past is, oh, we can't talk about Jesus, so I'm not going. So in other words, all those kids on the other side of the rules, just depends on whether they go to church or not, or if they're going to get it. Well, I guess they just didn't want Jesus. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe no one came into their world. So I can't take his name in there. I'll take his presence instead. I can't take his name in there. I'll take his love in there. I got done speaking. I had this kid come up to me and said, I've only told two people in my life this story. Wow. My dad put a gun to my head when I was 9 years old and told me to get out of this bleeping house. The only other person he told was his girlfriend, and she's the same age. How's she going to help him through that? But because I said, I don't care. I'm going through it. Listen, if I can't talk about Jesus, I'm fine with that. I'll let God worry about all that. I just want to love teenagers. I'm telling you what, I owned that school. It was like Spencer Lake Bible Camp where all the kids were like, Steve-o, but it was in school. And these kids are walking by. I'm giving them a hard time. I'm teasing them just like, and I'm getting away with it. Next thing I know, I had half the football team just hanging around me because they just wanted to hang out. Wow. They know your angle. They know good and well what's going on there. I'm telling you, God is up to something. I'll end with this. Someone say, yeah, right. My friend, it's a pastor, he said, God is doing some great stuff. It's crazy stuff, Steve. You could tell he's a youth pastor. He's like, God is doing some crazy stuff, man, off the hook. I said, so what's he doing? He said, we're starting a school. I'm like, I thought you said crazy. What church doesn't start a school, right? Churches start school all the time. What's the big deal? He said, no, Steve, I didn't say we're starting a Christian school. He says, we're starting a charter school for our community because we know how to do the arts. So we're going to teach the kids in our community how to do the arts. They are taking Jesus into their community. Most kids aren't going to show up to a Christian school. They're not going to come to a Christian school. But you have a school of arts full of people who believe in Jesus. Belief is caught. It's not just taught. Another friend of mine said, oh, we're doing something crazy, Steve. I'm like, what? We're building a building. I'm like, how is that crazy? Building a building? He said, oh, see, we're not building a church building. We're building a community center because we want to bless our community, right? Why? As we got out of the old Chicago, then we had church in the car afterwards for about an hour, just sat there and talked. And I said, this is church, right here. When this begins to happen all over the city, nothing can stop this. There's nothing more powerful than when people gather in his name. Nothing more powerful. And that does not mean that we have to have a Bible study. It does not. Get out of the box here for a second. It means we just, Jesus, what do you want us to do? I've had old ladies walk up to skateboarders like it was a Western showdown. Because they just sat back and said, God, what do you want us to do? And God showed them a grocery store. So they went to the grocery store, and all of a sudden she sees a bottle of water of life. She said, I think I'm supposed to get that. So she buys it. Do you know what she's doing? She's holding this bottle of water of life. She doesn't even know what to do with it. Then they walk out of the grocery store, and there's all these teenagers down there. And all of a sudden God says, now she knew. She wasn't just going off. She knew God had spoken to her. So now I was like, party's over, shut it down, right? And these ladies went up to these skateboarders. When would an older lady ever go up to a skateboarder? Because teenagers are intimidating. They don't have money, they just have a lot of attitude. That's their money. And they wield it well. Someone say amen. Amen. Don't you do that. But these ladies went up to these skateboarders and said, we feel like Jesus wants us to give this to you. I bet you that boy will never, ever forget that. I bet he'll never forget it. I bet he'll never forget it. Because they decided instead of doing their own agenda, they would gather in his name. I'm going to have fun watching the football game, but I guarantee you, somewhere along that line, God's going to say, pray for that one. Amen. The unconscious one over there, pray for her. Last time I went, she was like, I'm talking the Packer game, not here, right? That's what God is doing with me. And God says, the blessing's coming, the winter's almost over. I have all these people tell me the same thing, and they don't even know each other. And they're all saying it from different angles. The blessing is going to come, but now I'm saying, God, whatever, whenever you want to do it. And God, if you want me to struggle some more, I don't know if I have enough strength to struggle, so give me the strength to stay true to you. There is no greater intimacy than when you understand, but you say, I'm going to trust anyway. When your spouse or your friend says, just trust me, and you've been hurt by them, and you say, okay, that's the best friend that you can be ever. Though I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, we can sing it, but can we live it when we go home? So, Pastor, if you want to come up and play me something, if you can, with that hand of yours. I think God wants to do two things this morning. We need to do them quick. So I'm going to ask for those of you that are in here right now, that are in that struggle, and that God sent me here to encourage you that it's okay, God loves you, and you're not in the struggle because you did something wrong. You're in that struggle because God actually, you did something right. And if you were here this morning, and you'd be honest enough, I'm not even going to ask you to stand, because you don't even have the strength to stand. But if you have the strength to either nod at me or raise your hand up in the air like this, if you're in that situation, I'm going to go a section at a time, and I want you to just wave at me or nod your head at me. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I don't have a word for you, but boy, I sure got a feeling for you. And God is all over this whole thing. Man, I wish I could describe in English the feeling that he has for you right now. But you know what? You ask him what it is, and he'll show you. If you know what it sounds like, go back and get one of those CDs. Over here. Anyone going through that right now? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you for being honest. Thank you. Thank you.
And now,
over here.
Little weak, say I am strong.
Over here.
Little poor, say
those of you that raise your hands that are in that struggle right now. Thank you. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to picture that struggle, what it is. And I want you to hold your hands out like this in a cup. Close your eyes, and I want you to place it in that. Place it in there. And I want you to say whenever, whatever, however. But I want you to say, God, I give this to you. Help me. What do you think about that situation? He is in control of your life. Don't you quit because you're struggling. That's a sign of his immense intimacy with you. Jesus, give me the strength to keep going on. Your act of worship now is the highest form of worship that you can give. And you might not feel like you should stand up or raise your hands or come to the front when worship's going on. That's okay. You're hurt. But the very fact that you're still here, you keep coming, you keep standing. Having done all to stand, stand firm then. He who stands to the end will be saved. You're still standing, and God is very pleased with your act of love. And you don't feel it's an act of love because you're angry with him. It's okay. My wife gets angry with me too. But then she tells me and we work it out. Now I'm going to ask for those that are going to say something like this. Something along the lines of, you know what? I want to make a bigger difference for God. I want to gather in his name, but I don't even think about it. I come to church on Sundays, then I forget about him the weekend. I don't want to do that. I want to gather in his name. I want God to teach me. I want God to use me to bless somebody today. I want God to use me to bless someone at work. I want to remember to walk with him daily. I want to hear his voice. I want to do what God wants me to do. All that stuff you were talking about, Steve, that's what I'd like God to increase in me. I want you to stand to your feet right now because I'm going to pray over you. Don't stand because other people are. Stand because you want it. Of course, God knows why you're standing, but... the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you because he's anointed you. Look to someone else that's standing and say he's talking about you. Go ahead, turn around and say he's talking about you. Say he's anointed you. That song that you sang this morning that you wrote, wow. I want to feed the hungry. So do I. So let's do it. But we don't just go do it. Let's find out where God wants us to go specifically. Buy that bottle of water and take it to that kid. Let's find out where God wants us to go, and then we can have all the confidence in the world instead of going, I don't know if I should do this or not. When you know God speaks to you, like, okay, let's go. Party's on. Let's start. Let's go. So I speak to you in Jesus' name. I want you to grab his hand. Jesus' hand. Go ahead, grab it, and I want you to raise it up. I want you to say, together, Jesus. Just say, use me. I speak to your mind that it would hear his voice like never before. I speak to your heart that it would feel his presence like never before. May God continue to guide you and God bless you. I want you to close your eyes and see if you can picture Jesus' face right now. I bet you'll picture somebody smiling. He says, you're mine. You're mine. And I'm proud of you. He says, let's pound it. High five it. Give me a hug. Right?